Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the 21st chapter of Genesis, the first seven verses. Listen, hear, and receive the word of God. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son whom Sarah bore. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she also said, who would have ever said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day and for this opportunity to stand before your people. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable unto you. For you are our rock, you are our Redeemer. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. I thought it providential that on the day we acknowledge and celebrate Father's Day, one of our Old Testament lectionary scripture passages tells the story of Abraham, a man well beyond the age normally associated with fatherhood. Abraham was 75 years old when God first spoke to him and commissioned him to leave his father's house, his native home, and to go to a land which the Lord would show him. The Lord promised to bless Abraham, and in turn, Abraham would be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And the Lord further promised to give Abraham descendants that could not be numbered, that Abraham would be the father of nations. Now, this is an almost unimaginable promise considering Abraham's age and that his wife Sarah had many years before passed the normal biological ability to conceive and bear children. In the scripture passage which Buzz read, Sarah laughs, as did Abraham previously, when she hears the news from the three strangers, one presumed to be the Lord, that in due time she would give birth to a son. And 25 years later, the Lord appears once more and confirms to Abraham and Sarah that they will indeed conceive and parent a biological child of their own. 25 years, a quarter of a century, is a long time to wait on a promise from anyone, and most especially from God. A friend of mine would often say, there's only one thing worse than waiting on God, and that is to wish later on that you had. I have repeated this over and over again to others who have grown weary, tired, and their faith has waned while waiting on God to move in a situation, to receive a blessing, to bring a circumstance or condition to fruition, to make clear a decision and/or to answer a prayer. I repeat that same phrase over and over again to myself. For you see, I know what it means to wait on God year after year with no end or resolution in sight to a prayer or a desire in my heart. There are times when my faith is strong and I trust that in due time God will move on my behalf. And then there are times when I feel that God is not listening, that God might be ambivalent at best, or just doesn't care that I'm waiting for an answer to my prayer. It must have been unbearable to wait a quarter of a century for God to answer a prayer that in actuality had been abandoned many years before. A lot happens over the course of a year's time. But in 25 years, in addition to getting older, the world, our thoughts, our desires, our physical bodies, the environment, ways of doing things, innovations, they all change drastically. While looking on the internet, I found the following about the year 1992, which would be 25 years from today. Back then, the average income was $30,000. Gas was $1.05 a gallon. Wow, if we could go back. And a pound of bacon was $1.92. The treaty was signed forming the European Union. Hurricane Andrew hit and devastated the state of Florida. Bill Clinton became our president. Rioting broke out in Los Angeles after the acquittal of the police in the Rodney King beating case. And South Africans voted for political reforms to end apartheid. Many things have changed over the course of 25 years. And yet, sadly, some things have remained the same. The world is experiencing global instability where rain comes down and can destroy a city, a community, and lives in a matter of moments. Global warming results in 90-degree temperatures in the north in the month of December, and record ice and snowfalls in the south are commonplace. Black and brown people are still being assaulted and even killed with impunity by those who have sworn to protect and serve. Presidential scandal and unrest in the country are at an all-time high. The European Union has imploded with Brexit, and people are still marching and demanding equality, justice, access, and acceptance. Likewise, much had changed over the course of 25 years in the household of Sarah and Abraham. They had separated from their nephew Lot and his family. And on at least two occasions, Abraham and Sarah were deceptive about the true nature of their relationship. And as a result of their deception, they brought the wrath of God on the household of rulers, and they benefited financially. And Sarah, tired of waiting on God, took the Lord's business into her own hands, suggesting that Abraham father a child with her handmaiden, to which Abraham, in his faithlessness, complied. Now, brothers and sisters, whenever we get ahead of God, the results can be disastrous. Ishmael, the son born to Abraham and Hagar, was not the child of the promise, and his birth caused dissension, hurt, and separation in the household. After all these years and all that had transpired, both Abraham and Sarah greeted with nervous laughter the prospect that in spite of their advanced ages, God's covenantal promise was still yes and amen. God confirmed that within the next year, Sarah would conceive and bear the promised child. Theologian Walter Brueggemann states, and I quote, "This is an unwarranted birth in every usual sense, held together by the word of God and the birth of the child. The whole story depends on the coupling of the eternal purpose of God and the concrete biological reality." End of quote. After waiting a quarter of a century, a child comes from a couple who is as good as dead. There is no reason for them to hope after all this time. Life has moved on and years have gone by. Their faith has waned and they had grown weary. But thanks be to God, the promises of God are not dependent on our faith, our stamina, our ability to conceive either literally or figuratively. The promises of God are only dependent on the power, words, loyalty, and faithfulness of the promise maker. Walter Brueggemann goes on to say, "The word of God is scandalous. It never comes to fruition as we expect it. Some conclude it fails and they are driven back to their own seemingly adequate resources, while others conclude the word of God has failed and they are driven to despair." Beloved, if we are being completely honest and transparent, we can admit that sometimes we are driven to despair, waiting on the move of God, and we begin to lean on our own understanding. We begin to attempt to work things out in our own strength. We turn to our own devices. Our faith is often less than that of the grain of a mustard seed. But I stand here this morning to declare that it is during those times we are in good company. For the Hebrew writer accounted Abraham and Sarah among those considered righteous and faithful by God, yet their righteousness and faith seemed all but non-existent based on some of the decisions that they made and actions they took while waiting on God. We all tend to put God on the clock. We attempt to barter with God, and then sometimes we just give up, go our own way, or descend into depressive despair. Yet the Word of God reminds us, do not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we don't give up. And the psalmist implores, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. While the writer of Isaiah admonishes, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, that God does not grow faint or weary. God's understanding is unsearchable. The Lord gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Yet even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. Ah, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Out of our faithlessness and despair, God can do the impossible. God births newness of life in dry and barren places. God heals and mends brokenness when life seems unfixable. And God lifts us from the depths of depression, restoring the joy of God's salvation. Nothing, I repeat, nothing is too hard, improbable, or impossible for God. God can take situations where we have given up and given in and turn them into times of great celebration. God can take our nervous, anxious laughter and turn it into unmitigated joy. Our lack of faith, capacity, competence, or proficiency never defines or limits God's grace, mercy, or ability. That was exemplified when in due time God created the world and all that dwells therein out of chaos and nothingness. When in due time God freed God's chosen people from slavery and bondage, bringing them through the waters, fire, and floods in spite of their faithlessness, fed and kept them in the wilderness and brought them into a land where they lived in houses they did not build, ate food they did not plant, and became a mighty nation. When in due time the Spirit of God overshadowed a young woman and she conceived the Son of God, promised from the beginning of time, and that child grew in grace and redeemed us back to God. Our impatience and disbelief can make us believe that everything needs to happen right now. We are all about instant and continuous gratification. However, the faithfulness of God assures us that everything will happen at the right and in perfect and due time, which is God's time. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. We cry out, much like the Father seeking the healing and health for his Son in the Gospel of Mark. Beloved, be assured that in due time, God can resurrect life from unrealized hopes and dreams, empty and dead desires, sterile and barren aspirations. To paraphrase Brueggemann, the word and work of God is scandalous. Brothers and sisters, God is our source of hope in situations where the world way into the future seems blocked or impossible. God gives shape and substance to possibilities when everything around us and all indications point to the improbable. God's active engagement in the midst of the problems of daily life opens our future. God is not on our time schedule and does not punch in on our time clock. God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And if we just learn to wait on the Lord, in due time, God will birth a miracle. God's eternal purposes will manifest on earth and in our lives, just as God's purposes and plan did for Abraham and Sarah. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day and for your blessings and mercies which are new each and every morning. Loving God, we thank you for gathering us in this place of worship to praise, honor, and to glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, unearned and undeserved and not always acknowledged, which we are the recipients thereof. Lord, we give you thanks this day for the gift of fathers, for their guidance, love, support, and even, yes, Lord, for their correction. We pray that you will continue to lead and guide each of them in the ways of your righteousness and wisdom as they parent the gifts of children you have given to each of them. We thank you for those who have stepped up and in to parent children who are not biologically their own, but whom they have loved and nurtured. We pray for new fathers coming to terms with their new responsibilities and each man awaiting the birth of a child. We pray for dads who are tired, stressed, or struggling to balance family and work, struggling to feed, clothe, or provide housing for their children. We pray for fathers who have raised children on their own, and we lift to you most especially fathers who have lost a child. We lift to you men who desire to be a father, but yet that desire has been unfulfilled thus far. May they be reminded of your promise and fulfillment to Abraham. Bless all fathers, Lord God, all men who fill the role of fatherly uncle, fatherly mentor, fatherly friend. May they lead their children to know what is good, living not for themselves alone, but for you and for others. Now, God of mercy and grace, we pray for those who are mourning the death of a father or mother. Most especially today, we lift to you in prayer the family of Nora Stevens and Mary Randolph and her family in the death of her mother. Lord, may they know your comfort, your peace, and may they be assured that their loved ones now rest with you in your eternal care. We pray for those who are sick, have had procedures, treatment, or surgery, as well as those who are recuperating. Most especially today, we pray your healing power for our colleagues and co-workers, our friends, Carly and Gloria. And we also pray for Chris and Lee and Allie, Pat and John and Lynn, Diane and Ray, Pat, and Joe and Marty. Lord, we pray traveling mercies on all who are traveling near or far, and most especially for Pastor Randy and his family during their time of relaxation and rest. God of mercy, we pray reconciliation and restoration wherever there is brokenness and separation. We pray for justice in what is often an unjust judicial system and world. We pray peace wherever there is violence and unrest. We pray your stability in a world that is spinning out of control. And we pray for your wisdom in every level of government and civic engagement. Lord, there are some prayers that we can't even give utterance to. And so we thank you for your Spirit which abides with us and for your Son and our Savior who is making intercessions on our behalf, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who is art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.